All right, praise the Lord. Hymn number 10.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Everybody, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Woo! Glory to God. Good singing, folks. Please be seated. Amen. We're leaning, Lord. Leaning on you. Mm-hmm. Let's grab our Bibles this morning. I think we've covered all the bases. And open up to the book of Psalms. Any psalm. They're all good. Book of Psalms. Psalm 11. Glory to God. Well, I tell you, folks, as we see the world going more and more to the left, and literally going off the deep end. I mean, there was another shooting yesterday at a mall in, I don't know,
Maryland.
Yeah. And we're seeing this every week now. Shootings in schools, shootings in malls, murder in the streets. Knockout game, this is another one. Kids are killing each other for Air Jordan sneakers. Mm-hmm. Sneakers! Killing each other. We're getting worse. These are the last days. Amen? Why are we surprised? The Bible said, perilous times should come. And look with me here in the book of Psalms. David, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us an incredible picture of what's going on in the world today. Amen? I'm so glad that the Bible is alive and it's practical and it's applicable to my life today. Look with me here. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word in Psalm 11. In Psalm 11. It is the time of Absalom's rebellion. The year is 1027 B.C., and what we have taking place here in Psalm 11 is a coup, an attempt to overthrow the king, King David, that is, and his government, and it's his own son leading the rebellion. The very foundations of Israel are being attacked and shaken to the core at this time that David writes. And I'm here to tell you folks this morning before we read that the very foundations of America are being attacked and undermined by the devil and his horde. Look with me here in Psalm 11. David writes, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." There's a target, and it's the righteous. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Beloved, I want to call your attention this morning for my text in verse number 3. David writes, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Father in heaven, how we thank you for your word today. Lord, how we thank you that it is alive. And Lord, it speaks from heaven to man on earth. Lord, how we thank you this morning that you are sovereign. You are ruling and reigning, though most of this world does not know it yet. And Father, we just ask you to bless your holy word to our hearts today. All the singing was so good. As we worship the King, we thank you for the church you've given us, this little building, Lord. We pray you'd pack it out to standing room only. For the glory of God, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we see America going the wrong way in these last days, our hearts are stirred at the urgency of the hour. And Father, we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and fulfill every prophecy. And Lord, in the meantime, we want to take some souls with us to glory. Help us to be soul winners each and every day. Help us to get the word out. Give out these gospel tracts and seek the lost before it's too late. Lord, we thank you. That sound of the rapture we'll hear shortly. Come up hither, my beloved. Oh, what a day that will be. The Bible says we'll see him face to face. Amen. Oh, glory. Bless us now as we come to your word here. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, folks. I want to speak to you this morning briefly on the indestructible foundations of true faith. The indestructible foundations of true faith. Look with me in verse 3 again. David says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But beloved, I need you to take a closer look at our text, because David is not saying, if the foundations be destroyed, what in the world are we going to do? David is saying, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that there are certain things that you and I can do in these last days, as we see the time of his coming approach. There are some things that we must do as a church this morning. I give thanks unto God for the founding and establishment of this great nation called America. I'm American to the core. You know that. I'm patriotic. I love this country, but I don't like what's happening. I'm here to tell you this morning that the foundations of this country are being attacked, not only from without, but more dangerously from within. We've got trouble in the White House, beloved. The moral fabric and holy principles upon which we were founded are being attacked, undermined, and eliminated by organizations such as the ACLU. That's Anti-Christian Liberty Union. God has been kicked out of our schools. Why are our kids killing each other? The Pledge of Allegiance is about to be changed. You can't say one nation under God. It offends some atheists in Massachusetts. Over 55 million Americans have been murdered by abortion. Homosexual marriage is becoming legal, and the states are falling like dominoes one by one. It's no longer called sin, but an alternative lifestyle. Alcohol, pornography, and even brothels are now legal in America. Ah, beloved, I say unto you, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to give you some suggestions this morning on what we can do concerning the foundations of our great nation being destroyed. Listen now, they're all found here in Psalm 11. The first one is this. If the foundations be destroyed, God's people can know that there is a God in heaven to go to. Amen? I said, there is a God in heaven to go to. Look with me in verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple.
Amen.
Glory to God. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how many laws they pass, the Lord is in His holy temple. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, we've got a God that we can go to in prayer. We've got a God that is ruling and reigning, though they don't know it yet. I'm so glad that as we see the foundations, the core of America disintegrating before our eyes, God is on His throne. God is in control. Beloved, even though God is in heaven, out of our sight, yet we are never out of His sight. Amen? No matter how bad things get down here, we have a God to go to, and we know where to find Him and how to direct our prayers unto Him as our Father, which is in heaven. You've got a Father. Every good father cares for his children. Amen? He's not going to let anything happen to you. The devil tried to kill one of our men this week, but he didn't succeed because he's got a hard head. No, because he, I might be looking for a new treasure. Because the angels of God protected him from death. Amen? And by the way, you and I are His holy temple. Look at that, verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. I got good news this morning, church. God is in you. You are the temple of God. There's no temple in Jerusalem for the past 2,000 years by divine design, because ye are the temple of the living God. Now, go with me to Psalm 91. No, don't turn there. Let me quote it. Psalm 91, verse 15. God says, call upon me and I will answer. Time out! Did anybody hear what I just said? Yeah. God speaking. Verse 15. Call upon me and I will answer. I will be with thee in trouble. I will deliver thee and honor thee. God is with you, child of God. Don't get depressed. Get encouraged and rejoice because He's coming back soon. Go with me to Psalm 50. Hold your place in 12. Psalm 50. I love this psalm. It talks about those entering into covenant with God by a blood sacrifice. Amen. In Psalm number 50, look with me in verse 14. Glory to God. I'm so glad He's in heaven and we can go to Him. Verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. We've got such an unthankful generation.
Yes.
They want their iPod and their iMac and they want their Xbox 360 and they want their Air Jordans and give it to me now. Uh-huh. They're so unthankful. Yes. Listen, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. That means if you tell God you're going to do something, follow through. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Lord says, you come into trouble? Beloved, call upon me. And the Lord says, I will answer you, and I will deliver you. Glory to God. Just like when they opened a porno shop some years ago. Down in Bering, where I used to pastor, where my son pastors that church today, Bobby Jr., glory to God. And they opened a pornography shop on the corner, one block from the church. You know what we did? God's people prayed those evildoers right out of town. We said, Lord, we can't have this. No way. Lord, destroy that building. Burn it or something. It burned down, by the way. We didn't set it. No, no. Oh, yeah. The Lord has His ways, amen. We prayed and He delivered. Why? Because there is a God to go to. Point number one, God's people can know that there is a God in heaven to go to. It's part of the foundations of true faith. But something else this morning. What can the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? Listen to me. God's people can know that our God is sovereign. God's people can know when things are going bad, when the foundations are being destroyed, that God is still sovereign. Look at verse 4 again. Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's, what's the next word? Throne is in heaven. I love it. Because a throne, listen now, not only does the psalmist reveal the location of God, but here he speaks of His universal sovereignty. That is, that from His throne in heaven, God rules over all kingdoms, nations, and peoples. Do you understand that Mr. Ahmadinejad over there in Iran is not in charge? Mr. Putin over there in Russia, he's not in charge. Mr. Assad killing his own people in Syria, he's not in charge. The guy in the White House? He's not in charge! God! A throne is a symbol of authority and power, and in God's case, his throne is above all other thrones and rulers in all eternity. Daniel said that thou shouldest know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Did you hear that? He's in charge. My God is in charge. I don't care how many wicked laws they pass. God is still sovereign. We need to keep our eyes fixed and focused upon him in these last days. Listen now. Daniel says, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. That means you cannot alter the sovereignty of God. He is ruling and reigning. Listen to me. Anything that happens in this world is only by God's permissive will. Amen? The devil has to go to God. And can I mess with Job? Okay, you do this, and that to him. Oh, thank you. But don't kill him. Why? Because God is sovereign. The devil is a puppet on a string. Listen to me, folks. That God is going to use the devil and his antichrist during the tribulation period to bring about his purpose. Oh, I love it. Glory to God. Go to Psalm 103. Hold your place in 12. 103. I love this psalm. It speaks of God's sovereignty. Amen? In Psalm 103, I'm glad he's in his holy temple. In Psalm 103, look with me at verse 19. Don't miss this. 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over some. Wrong version, brother. His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. Hey, do you know you got angels with you wherever you go? When I'm in that God shack at GE at night from 12 to 8 or 12 to 12, something like yesterday, then I'm not alone. The Holy Spirit is in me, and God's angels are watching over me. Terrorists can't do nothing to me. Unless God says so. That gives me great comfort. Verse 20, bless the Lord ye his angels that excel in strength. You don't want to mess with an angel. That do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. He has mighty hosts. Ye ministers of his that do his pleasure, bless the Lord all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Why? Because he's sovereign. O.J. Simpson and all these famous people may buy their way off in this life, but one day they'll have to stand before that throne in the heavens and try to pay off the sovereign, omnipotent, all-knowing God who rules in righteousness. Scary thought. But I see another thing we can do. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Listen carefully. God's people can know that all their trials and tribulations are for their good. For their good. Listen carefully, church. Look with me in Psalm 12 again. Look at our text here. Psalm 11, I should say. And look with me at verse number 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Notice that. The Lord trieth. Who? The righteous. The Lord trieth the righteous. What's that mean? What is David saying by the Holy Spirit here? Listen carefully. Beloved, God is a refiner. And whatever he puts his hand on, he purifies and sanctifies it. Are you listening? God is a purifier. That's why you're here in church this morning. You want to live a pure and godly and holy life. You want to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That's why you're in church. Listen, according to David here, God will allow his children to go through the fires of persecution and opposition in order to draw them closer to him, in order to conform them more and more into the image of his dear Son. God loves me so much that he wants me to be like Jesus. Nobody ever loved me like that. Amen? And he's going to work in my life to bring about those situations to cause me to be more like Jesus. I'm so glad. Beloved, as we see the foundations of our land slowly eroding and collapsing before our eyes, and as this evil generation continues to get further and further away from God, We need to be getting closer and closer to him. Amen. Why? Because of the indestructible foundations of true faith. Something cannot be destroyed. That is your faith. It's indestructible. Amen? Glory to God. Romans 8:28, don't turn there. It says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." If you love God, listen, whatever comes into your life, it's ultimately for your good. I don't know why Carl smashed his head on the pavement there and got a wicked concussion this week. I don't understand it. But God does. Maybe God just wants to grab him and spend a few weeks with him home alone with him. I don't know. Take time out from driving the bus. I don't know. But God's got a reason. Listen now. Things work together for good to those that love God. Do you love him this morning? Glory. That's not all. I see something else. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Listen, God's people can know that those who seek to destroy the foundations of the righteous shall suffer the wrath of God forever. Here is a frightening thought. Look with me in our text in chapter 11. Look at verse number 5. Here is a frightening verse. "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup." Listen carefully, church. All these wicked, corrupt politicians, they lie, they cheat, and they pass evil laws against this holy book and against the founding God of America. They're going to suffer for it one day. I don't rejoice in that. I wished it wasn't so. I wish that only the devil was going to hell. But millions upon millions will suffer this wrath that he speaks of here. The psalm takes a horrific turn in verse number 5. From the righteous to all those who would cast God and his word and his people from this society, to describe in graphic detail their ultimate doom. Observe here two things. First, that God is holy and therefore he hates evil. Look at it. Verse number 5. "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." Listen, that means that God cannot bear to look upon evil. Proverbs 6:16, you know it. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." A proud look. Pride is number one. He hates pride. Lying, cheating, all these things God hates, dividing the brethren. Why? Because he's holy and he hates evil. Secondly, notice that he is a righteous judge and therefore he must punish evil. Look with me in verse number 6. Watch what he says. "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest." Now, this punishment is described in three ways in verse 6. First, it is described as being inevitable. Amen? It's inevitable. Look at verse number 6. "Upon the wicked he..." What's the next word?
Shall.
Folks, this judgment, this eternal damnation, this punishment from God is inevitable because the Bible says it shall come to pass. Now, notice what he says. "Upon the wicked he shall rain something down." Notice the word "shall." It's in the demonstrative sense. That means it's going to happen no matter how you feel about it. In Psalm 9, look at this. Flip back one page. Psalm 9. Look at verse 16. Don't miss this. "The Lord is known by the" what?
Judgment.
"Which he executed." Time out, church. Yes, God is love. And God is wonderful. And God is peace and joy and rest. But God is also holy. And God must punish evil. Whether it be in the lost or in his own children. He always punishes sin. Now look at this in verse 16. "The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared." There's that word again. Snare is a trap. Something you can't get out of. "Snared in the work of his own hands." Hegion Selah. That means meditate on that.
The wicked shall be turned where? Into hell. And all the nations that forget God.
David says by the Holy Spirit here that there is a place called hell.
The world has air-conditioned hell. They think you're going to be drinking beer with all their buddies in hell. They don't understand that hell is a real place of punishment.
The punishment is inevitable. Secondly, it is described as not only described as being inevitable, secondly, it is described as being very terrible. Look at verse 6 again. Chapter 11, verse 6. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and horrible tempest. A horrible tempest. The Hebrew word there is burning. Burning. You know, hell is hot. There's real flames of fire. There's real torment. Just ask the rich man in Luke 16 when him and Lazarus had their thing there. He is a righteous judge, and therefore he must punish evil. Now, as being very terrible, here is hell uncovered for all to behold and take warning. Snares indicates that there is no escape. They're trapped. Fire brimstone denotes an unusual punishment, but it's literal. Go with me to Revelation chapter 20. Hold your place in Psalm 11. In Revelation chapter 20, quickly. In Revelation chapter 20, look at this. This day is coming. It's yet future, but people don't believe it. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. There's those two words again. Where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Notice, somebody's getting tormented in a place called a lake of fire, and it lasts forever. Wow! Look with me in chapter 21. Revelation 21, look at verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving, all those who reject your Savior, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part. Oh man, the White House needs this verse. All liars, shall have their part in the No, I never said you can keep your health care program. I said if... Oh, come on. No, I didn't know anything about Benghazi. Mm-hmm. Where's that? Yeah. What's the difference, they say? Verse 8. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The world does not believe this, but it's true. Thirdly, it is described not only as inevitable, it is described as horrible. Thirdly, it is described as being a cup that they must drink from. Look at verse 6 again in Psalm 11. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. This cup, beloved, is none other than the cup of God's wrath. Go with me to Psalm 75 quickly. Got to move. In Psalm 75, I want to show you this cup that they're going to drink from. It's not going to be optional. In Psalm 75... look with me at verse number 8. Don't miss this. Verse 7, God is the judge. You see that? God is the judge. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. It's not going to be optional. They are going to drink the wrath of God. That's what the Bible says. What a horrible fate for those who reject God's Son, for those who seek to destroy the foundations of the righteous. But I see one last thing that the righteous can do. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Listen carefully, beloved. God's people can know that though the world is getting worse and worse, yet God will never forsake his own. Look with me at verse number 7. Don't miss this in closing. God will never forsake his own. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Woo! Glory to God. David closes the psalm with two incredible truths for us to consider. First, he reminds us that God loves righteousness. Verse 7. Look at that. For the righteous Lord, what's that next word?
Loveth.
Loveth. He doesn't just like it. He loves when we live a righteous life. Amen? Why? Because he's the righteous Lord. He likes when we're being like him. God is perfectly righteous, and he loves righteousness wherever he finds it. He delights to stand up and deliver the righteous. He loves to plead their cause and uphold them. He rejoices in showing himself strong on their behalf. Glory to God. But secondly, not only does God love righteousness, but secondly, the psalmist reminds us that God constantly watches over them. Amen? Look at verse 7. It says, his countenance doth behold the upright. Don't miss this in closing.
I got good news for you. Ladies, don't you love when your hubby just, you know, me and Miriam have this thing. Every single morning, when the alarm goes off, she'll tell you, every single morning, without fail, I reach my arm over and we have our cuddle time. I just, you know, rub her hair. And, no, I'm serious. Now, I know it's funny, but why? We love each other. Amen? God loves you. And he wants cuddle time with you. His face, don't you cuddle with me, brother. His face doth behold the upright. You know what that means? It means this. That's what it means. That's what it means. As the world has gone crazy, his countenance doth behold the upright. His eyes are on you 24/7. He wants to be with you intimately. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to tell him how much you love him, how wonderful he is to you. Amen? Listen carefully now. Notice the present tense in verse 7. His countenance doth. Right now, when you leave this church, he's going to be watching you. His eyes are upon you. Now, God is like a tender father who looks upon his children with pleasure and takes great delight in their living so as to honor him and please him. Go with me to Psalm 42. We'll finish up. Psalm 42. Don't miss this. I love this verse. In Psalm 42, David says in verse number 5, 42, I love verse 1, as the hart, that's a deer, panteth after the water brooks, he's thirsty, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He says, I can't get enough of God, amen? Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You ever talk to yourself? I talk to myself all the time. I'll be driving
for that.
Yep, and I'll be talking to the Lord, driving down the road, and I'll be at a red light, and I'll look over, and the guy's just laughing and happy, like, you're talking to yourself. Yeah, I'm talking to myself. David did. Uh-huh. Watch what he says to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? David's saying, David, why are you upset? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. David says, his countenance is beholding me. His countenance is with me. It's like friend to friend, amen? Watching over me day and night. Oh, I love that. I just love that. The righteous can know that God, though the world is getting worse and worse, God will never forsake his own. There is a God in heaven for us to go to. That our God is sovereign. All our trials are for our good. Those who seek to destroy the foundations of true faith shall suffer God's wrath. And God will never forsake his own. Amen. In closing, let me give you this. When the pilgrims came to the shores of America in the year 1620, the dimensions of the tiny Mayflower were just 26 feet wide by 113 feet long. The little ship spent 67 days and nights on the stormy North Atlantic. She was filled to overcapacity with 120 passengers. 47 survived. The Mayflower was at the mercy of the seas, but the ship was not filled with cargo, but with 120 people of great faith.
People who believed that God would give them a land that would be devoted to His honor and glory. Beloved, the foundations of America were laid strong, for they were laid in faith upon the Word of God. We have today those same indestructible foundations of true faith. Let's pray, Father in heaven, how we thank You for our founding fathers. Lord, they had a dream. They had a dream to find a country, a land that they could discover where they could worship the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, freely, without persecution from Rome or the King or any government leader. And Lord, I thank You that You led them. You led that little Mayflower all the way to our shores at Plymouth Rock. And here we are, Lord, how many? 400 years later. Oh, thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for this great nation. And I thank You, Lord, that we are living off of the faith of our forefathers. The blessings that You bestowed because of godly men like Abraham Lincoln, my favorite president. A man of God who believed the Bible and practiced it. Lord, today we're too politically correct. We're afraid of offending the Muslims or the homosexual crowd or the abortion crowd. Lord, I pray for my nation this morning. Lord, we pray for America. Lord, we know there's not much time. We know judgment is going to fall for all the bloodshed of the babies that have been shed in this country. We know that the judgment of God is going to fall because of going against Israel, the elect nation. We know that the judgment of God is going to fall for the Sodomites and, Lord, the witchcraft and the sorcery, Satanism that goes on in America. Oh, Lord, how sad to know that the Satanic Bible now outsells the Holy Bible on America's college campuses 10-1. Oh, Lord, it's a frightful time. The foundations of America are being destroyed. But the righteous have a God to go to. We're thankful this morning that Jesus Christ He's coming back. We thank You this morning that Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us, that we may boldly say, "The Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear what man shall do." We love You this morning, Lord, and we thank You for Psalm 11. Thank You that David was in a cave at the time he wrote that. He was cast out, exiled from his own throne. And he said, "God is in heaven. His throne ruleth over all." Oh, I'm so thankful, Lord, that You're sovereign and You're in control even when we're not. And Lord, I'm so thankful that no matter who's in the White House, Jesus Christ is in control. Lord, we just ask You this morning to bless America. We ask for a revival. Lord, we ask for preachers that are filled with the Holy Spirit that will proclaim the truth of God's Word. Oh Lord, unashamedly and uncompromisingly proclaim the truth for what it says, not what they want to hear. Oh God, we thank You this morning. We thank You for the message. And we thank You, dear Lord, that the foundations of true faith are indestructible. It doesn't matter what the devil throws our way. The indestructible foundations of true faith will stand to all of eternity. Thank You, Father. Bless us as we're dismissed. Bless the fellowship to follow and the goodies we're about to consume. We thank You for it all, O God. And we pray You'd use this little church, Lord, in these last days, that we might be a gospel lighthouse, that souls would be saved around the world as a result of our giving to missions. I thank You, Lord, that we're just a handful, yet we support 3 missionary works. What a blessing, Lord. And we pray for many, many more as You provide. And we thank You for it all, Lord. We thank You for loving us. I thank You for verse 7. His countenance doth behold the upright. Oh, Lord, how precious it is to know You, to know the truth, and to be set free. We love You in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, people. Let's stand. Grab our hymnals for a final hymn this morning. Glory to God. Let's open up to 242. 242. Room at the cross. Amen. Glad there always is. Amen. We'll sing the first and second.
Praise the Lord. 242.
Always room till that rapture blows.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and His grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room for the cross and you. The millennial Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine and rain, through loss and in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Amen. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good singing, folks. I'm going to ask Brother Harry to dismiss us in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the fellowship to follow. So good to have him with us today. Amen.
Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, this church and the people here. Proclaim your word, Lord, and believe in you and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for this hope and salvation. Lord, we pray that you would bless us this day. Thank you for the word that we heard today. May it work in our hearts, Lord, and our lives, and work in this church today, and share the good news with others that Jesus Christ has saved them, has come and has saved them from damnation, Lord. We thank you, and we ask, Lord, that you bless this day, bless this church, and for the missionaries and those that are reaching out to others in the unsaved and ungodly world, Father. Thank you for this pastor and his family, Lord. Bless them in a special way.
Yes.
We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's eat. Bread pudding.
For you.